Welcome to Life with a Girlfriend with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Yes, and we're mother-daughter team.
Yes, we are.
And today we said, you know, we love our radio show because it's like therapy for us.
It is. You know, when everybody else is, you know, paying a lot of money for therapy, you know, we get ours pretty reasonable.
Yes, and I'll share with you a little bit of, with the audience a little bit of our therapy today, our little conflict before the radio show,
mm-hmm.
And so forth. But mm-hmm. I just want to tell everybody first that it's going to be a wonderful show today, like it always is.
Oh, I love
wonderful.
The way you just put it out there, girlfriend.
You're
foreshadowing it.
Yeah, foreshadowing it. The secret. It will be a wonderful
show. It's going to be a wonderful show tonight. Really? All right. Wait, what? It's going to be wonderful?
Yes. We're going to touch your heartstrings and hopefully make you smile and cry and all that good stuff.
Really?
And yeah.
Whoa.
I
want to be present for that.
You are going to be present for that. But you can also find out more about us at ChristineMarieAndJulia.com, which we haven't done another blog recently, which we need to do some blogging.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like the last thing you want to do, I know.
Yeah. It really, blog, B-L-O-G, it's got to be an acronym, yeah.
Exactly. Or you can get our book, The Clutterfly Effect.
Now
on
there
Amazon.
You're talking.
Yeah, it's at thecluttereflyeffect.com or amazon.com. And it's The Clutterfly Effect. Mm-hmm. Tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life.
And you know what I want to say?
Mm, what?
I'm in love with amazon.com recently. I just love it.
I didn't realize how big it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just for books anymore, people.
It's not, but get our book.
Yes, at Amazon.
At Amazon.com, The Clutterfly Effect.
Exactly.
But I'm a fan, girlfriend. I'm usually an eBayer.
And really, you've kind of changed a little bit.
I have. I have.
I mean, you still buy our cars on eBay.
Yeah, I like the thrill of the kill.
Yes, you do.
I can remember we bought a car this year. Probably in March or something, and I, you know, was watching it down to the wire, and I had 1 minute to go, and there was another guy bidding against me, right? And you screamed at me, Mom, put a bid in now, and I wanted to wait till like the last 10-15 seconds.
Yeah.
And you like,
I don't remember me having any real input on this.
Oh my God.
I really don't.
You got your memory serves you, girlfriend.
It does. Thank you, God.
Because you were like,
Jesus Christ,
you're like, do it. And it cost me like $500. It did.
Because
Oh, yeah.
Because it was able to go up one more bidding round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was going to wait to the very end. You have no recollection of this.
I had no realization. You kept
you
asking
so
me
lucky.
When to do it. I go, well, I guess do it now. I
no.
don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going to defer to you this one.
Mm-hmm. Well, luckily, when you bought our camper, I was not part of that deal.
No.
On eBay. So
no. I learned my lesson.
You learned your lesson.
I'm like, Mom, do it. Julie, I got 30 more seconds I need to let it go to.
Yeah.
Know?
And listen, you bring that up on the most convenient time. Hey, it's my birthday coming up. You know, you cost me $500.
So your present minus $500.
Exactly.
We've got lots to talk about after everybody has gone and bought the book.
Yes.
And then we're going to send them, if they send us the receipt number or whatever, we'll send them the audio version of us doing
our
book.
And you can do that at talktous@ChristineMarieAndJulia.com.
And in the audio version, I do not have a cold. I sound darling.
And you sound darling now.
Do
and
I?
And gratefully, because I don't, as we both have colds, but mine's 2 weeks in and yours just starting.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying this morning, I'm gonna cancel the show. I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to cancel the show.
And then I, and then you know what made me, propelled me to not cancel the show? Is that we're, you know, watching Skyscraper Live with mm-hmm. Nick Wallenda making that walk across the two tightrope, across the two buildings in Chicago, in the Windy City. And he said that he does this to be an inspiration to people. And I want to say, I'm on the show, girlfriend.
Because of that inspiration.
Because I want to say the show must go on. I want to be an inspiration.
And see, the only way his show wouldn't go on if there was like a big weather storm coming through
mm-hmm.
or lots of wind.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have that as an excuse.
We have lots of wind, metaphorically speaking.
Yes. Figuratively.
Oh, literally. Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe it's a metaphor. What's the metaphor of wind for? Wind.
So today, though, we're going to have, we're going to bring on our guest in about 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
Tracy Friedman.
I don't think her name is Friedman, honey.
No, it's Friesen.
That's right.
Friesen, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
And
I wasn't going to say anything, but, you know.
You didn't wait long to say something, so I don't know.
You did cost me $500.
Exactly. So that, I no longer get that that option of you not holding your tongue back. But she's a teacher, energy healer, author, wife, mother, but she is also one of the authors of Unwavering Strength. And we're going to share her story tonight and talk about her unwavering strength. And that's where I think we're going to maybe bring some tears out. We try not to because we're Life of the Girlfriends. And we know we want to share these stories because we know that we're not able to talk about our grief that much. Sometimes we want to hide it and keep it dark because we're afraid to express it. And all these authors coming out and sharing their grief, sharing their sadness, and sharing what they've learned from it,
mm-hmm.
and their power and their strength and
right.
where they found it.
Ultimately sharing the strength that got them through this.
And the transformation that always occurs with it.
Yeah.
There's always growth.
Yeah, exactly. And what, you know, when you come out the other end of it, what have you learned, and how are you better for it? And then, you know, you give a gift to the world for whoever will accept it. You know?
And so I want to talk about her story today, and I also want to talk about, she does energy medicine for not just people, but for animals. And so I want to talk to her about that as
Oh,
well.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
And then after we're done interviewing, and of course, Mom, after the interview, will be giving us a heads up on what's happening with the Skywalker.
Oh, okay.
I call it Skywalker, but it's not it. It's tightrope walker.
Luke. Nick Skywalker.
Yes. And he'll be letting us know. It's a 2-hour and 20-minute show, so we're in hour 2 right now. Unfortunately, we will be done with the radio show during the time that he will be walking.
But I will let you know, people,
yes.
if he's still doing it. He's got his spiritual mentor there, Pastor Joel Osteen.
Who you love and adore.
He's a cute little guy.
Yes.
He's just cute.
I love how his hair is almost a mullet.
Yes.
It's almost
business
a
in the front,
party
in the back.
Business it's almost
the
there.
Front, party in the back.
I think that's how his ministry is, too.
His ministry is a mullet?
Like a business in the front and party in the back.
Ooh. Ooh.
I don't know.
Ooh. Is this an expose?
No. I just think that's how he is. I love him. I love his show mm-hmm. on TV, and I think I've gotten a couple of his books, and I love him. I
mm-hmm.
adore him.
And you love the party in the back part.
I do. There's always that lightness,
mm-hmm.
and that's good because I'm a person yeah. that can condemn myself pretty easily.
Right.
And
yeah.
so I need to have people in my life
yes.
that aren't condemning.
Yeah. Would that be me, girlfriend? Are you suggesting that?
Not today, no.
The $500, I think.
And so we'll also talk about, I heard an interesting story on NPR this week, and on one of my podcasts, and I want to share it because it's a different take on it,
mm-hmm.
But it's a mother-daughter story, and I mm. kind of wanted to bring it up because
mm-hmm.
I think it's good showing the issues that this mother-daughter has
mm.
when we're so close,
mm-hmm.
and our relationship is never on the cutting board.
Yes.
Or the drawing board either. We thought I'd refigure it.
Some kind of board.
Some kind of board. We sometimes have it on a drawing board. Let's redraw this thing. let's expand.
Yeah, let's. You be the architect.
Exactly. And so sometimes we have fun with that. So we'll talk about that after the interview as well with Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Maybe Tracy will be here. I don't think she's here yet. Tracy, are you on the phone yet? Nope, not yet.
Okay.
So we're coming soon. I'm sure, you know, here's the thing. Our engineer is always so good. He always lets me know.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I don't hear it when
mm-hmm.
I'm talking.
You know what, though? We are very lucky. Our engineer is very cool.
Yes.
He's very like a maestro. He plays the show well.
Okay. And I see just like that, the engineer came into my little ear
mm-hmm.
so quietly
mm-hmm.
and said, our guest is with us.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to introduce Tracy. Are you there, Tracy Friesen?
I am. I'm sorry you were cutting out, so I wasn't sure if it was my connection or not, but I am here.
And can you hear me now? Are you pretty good?
I can. It's a little bit cutting in and out, but I can still hear you, yes.
Okay. Well, you sound great on our end, and I apologize, but we'll talk a little bit slower because sometimes Christine and I can get a little bit talky.
We're too fast.
way too fast.
Hi, Tracy. I'm Christine Marie, and I'm got a bit of a cold tonight, so I'm going to be saving my voice.
And so, Tracy, first thing I want to ask you is that...
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. You're cutting out. I couldn't hear you. Yes.
Oh, no problem, Tracy.
What should we do?
Okay. You know what? You know what? If it doesn't get better the next minute, Tracy, we're going to have our engineer call you back. So am I still cutting out on you?
Yes, you are. Like,
okay.
I can hear about the
Why don't you hang up? No problem. We'll hang up.
Okay.
Great. That's good. Hey, it's live radio, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful thing was she was coming in perfectly for us.
Isn't that funny?
I know. I was just like, please let this work out because I can really hear her
mm-hmm.
strong.
Yeah, was it last week? I could not hear that second guest at all.
Well, and I wanted to say one thing about that
mm-hmm.
to the audience. This is kind of like a hidden secret. Mom runs cold or hot. You like to be cold.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is 40 degrees out, and we have yet turned on our heat.
Right.
Not quite yet.
Right.
We have those little Amish heaters around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not because she wants to, you know, it's all about the budget. It's not about that, really.
It's all about the Amish. I'm supporting the Amish.
You just like to feel cold.
I do.
And so last week, you had the air conditioning on.
Mm.
And it was, you know, end of October.
I know.
And it was. I felt so bad because our engineer goes, there's a hum someplace. I don't know where it's at.
Oops.
And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
God.
Julie, you are narking on me.
I'm like, I know exactly where it's at.
Yeah, and I know. And as soon as the show was over, you're like, you are never having the air conditioner on again.
Like, no condemnation.
Okay, girlfriend.
No condemnation. I just couldn't hear. I was about ready to say, Mama, I'll take care of the interview because you're. I could not understand. It was too,
yes.
Just that little bit. Just
yes.
That little bit was too much and so forth.
Threw us over.
Exactly. Tracy, are you back on the line? Not yet. Okay. So we're getting there, and we may have to. Oh, great. Tracy, are you back on the line? Are we better?
I am back on the line. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. And you sound just as clear as before, and I hope we sound better.
So, oh, yes. Way better, yes.
That's great because, you know, I want to say I love what you do for the world. I love that you're an energy worker. You're into healing people, helping people find their journeys and create their lives they really want to create. And you like to work with animals. And... there's a special place in my heart for people like you who
yes.
who want to work with animals. So I just want to give a big shout out to you for doing that. Thank you so much. And I want to ask you questions about that, but I won't do that before we talk about your story in Unwavering Strength.
Okay.
So Tracy Friesen, tell us about your story. And I want to tell the audience right now, we had a guest last week who was a wonderful author, and she's like, you guys are so much fun, and my story is kind of sad. And I said, no, you know, this is what life's all about. And we embrace it all to find the strength. And, you know, Tracy, sharing your story, I realized that, you know, because it happened 20 years ago, you're able to speak about this in a way that, you know, you can tell, you can chart your growth and so forth. So to the audience, it's, you know, we can get through this. So would you mind sharing your unwavering strength story with our audience?
All right, so you are talking about my story in volume 2, yes?
Yes, in story
okay.
in volume 2.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, it was my story, like, honestly, when I wrote this out, this is the first time since I went through the experience that I actually went through and told the whole story. I've never went through and told anyone my experience that I had. But so it was a really difficult time for me because it brought back a whole lot of feelings and emotions that I had to come to terms with again. And so, like, my story, what it is, it was back when I was about 22 years old, and I had come home for the weekend, as I did almost every weekend from college, and I was really excited because we just got back our midterm marks, and I had achieved a really high average. I had, like, 89.6%, which is so phenomenal and, like, really unheard of when you come to, like, secondary school in that level.
Right.
And I was in a computer programmer course or class or whatever, so I was really excited to coming home that weekend, and I wanted to share with my mom and my dad because my brothers and my sister are already moved away and at school or living on their own. So I wanted to do that. So I came home, and I was really, really excited, but I was still, like, at that place where I wanted to tell them, but then I wanted to, like, just go out with my friends because that's basically what my life came about at home. I would go home, I would eat supper with my parents, do my due diligence, excuse me, and then go out and party it up with my friends. So this particular weekend was just a little bit different. My dad started talking to me a little bit differently, and just his energy was just a little bit different, and just the way he wanted to engage me was just so odd because he hadn't really wanted to get close or start talking about things on a personal level with me for quite some time. And I also remember in the back of my head, you know, my mom always saying to me, don't bother your dad, don't bother your dad with things. Mm-hmm. He has enough to worry about. Don't bug him about, you know, the things that are going on in your life. So when my dad was asking me, hey, is there anything going on in your life? You know, I'm here, I can talk to you. I just kind of found it a little odd. And but also inside, I was still kind of like, hey, well, wait a minute. Well, maybe my mom is wrong, and maybe I can talk to my dad about my life, because I was really going through a lot of, like, really, like, deep personal heart things at that time. Well, when you're 22, everything is a tragedy, right? So
exactly.
I was going through some love issues and some, you know, boy issues and, like, school and career. Like, I really wanted to talk to somebody, and but I didn't take that opportunity that night. I just remember saying, hey, you know, Dad, I'm good, I'm fine, and even though I really desperately wanted to speak, I didn't. But I went out anyway, and was before my dad had asked me before I left if I would come home that night, which again was really odd. And I normally would go out and I would stay over at my friend's house because basically that's what I did when I went home. I just spent
right.
time with my friends because with everyone being gone, it was kind of boring being at home. So. I went out, or my dad had asked me to come home, and I just kind of looked at him like, you know, like, why would I come home? Like, I said, no, I'm going to be spending the night at my friend's place. And then he said, well, could you? And I said, well, I'll see, knowing really, really full well that I wasn't going to come home because I was there to go out and drink and party and, you know, be with my friends. And so I did that. I went out, and it was a really... really late night. I probably went to sleep probably about, you know, 6:45 in the morning. And that I got woken up by my friend a few hours later. She's poking. She's like, you know, Tracy, your dad's on the phone. Tracy, you know, you got to get up. And I was just like, what? What's going on? And I just remember feeling just, you know, so just out of sorts because I thought, why is my dad calling me? Like, this never happens. Like, of all the years... you know, I've been, you know, coming home or all the time. I'm like, why is he calling me? And so I got on the phone with him, and I just said, you know, hi, what's going on? And he just said, well, will you please come home? And it was just how he said it just really set me off. And I said, okay, I'll just, you know, I'll be home as soon as I can. And my friend, she just had to look at me once, because I wear my emotions on my sleeve. She just said, what's wrong? And I just said, I don't know. Like, there is something seriously up with my dad, and I just need to get home. And I got really frightened, and I didn't know why I was frightened. But so I went home, and then when I got home, I was just like, I was just kind of like, hey, you know, here I am. What's so urgent? And he just kind of looked at me and said, oh, I just wanted you home. I just needed you to be home. And then I got really pissed off. Oops, sorry. I got really ticked off, and because I'm like, oh, I really need my sleep, because I was still like so majorly hungover. And so I'm just like, okay, fine, I'm gonna go lay down. And I went and laid down, and it wasn't very long after that he just burst into the room, which was so odd, and the door just goes flying open, the lights go flipping on, and he's just like, what are you doing? And I'm just like, in my head, well, what do you think I'm doing? I'm trying to sleep, you know. And I just said, and then he just said, and I just asked him, you know, where Mom was, and he had said, you know, she's left already. And I'm like, he's like, I need you to get up. So I just said, fine. And I remember laying there, like it happened so long ago, but I still can bring this whole experience back, like it's just happening, like, you know, yesterday.
Sure.
I remember laying there just being so much in pain with my head throbbing and all that, just wanting to will my body to move. And then, you know, the phone rang, and so I answered, and it was my sister on the other end, and she, like, the conversation just started of like, hey, you know, whatever. But she just started to ask me all these really, really, really unsettling things. And I just had so much anxiety and fear come up in me. She's like, you know, it's like, did you know that Dad had overdosed on sleeping pills and he was out for 3 days? And I was just like in shock, because I'm like, no, I had no idea. I'm home every weekend. I'm the closest one to home, and my mother didn't tell me anything that was going on. I found out later that after this had happened, they had put him in the hospital on watch, and or 24-hour like suicide watch, and then he was released and came home. But it was just like so unsettling. I'm like, I had no idea that this was at all going on. So like all of this emotion just started to like pool in my stomach, and I just started to feel that pit, and I was just like, I didn't know what to do. Like and so I remember going upstairs and wanting to talk to him, and just I wanted to have all these answers to the questions that were going on in my head. Because one thing that I didn't mention, like when my dad finally woke up from overdosing on those sleeping pills, he had said something that was really disturbing to me. And what he said was, he said, that damn Jimmy Rose, he could do it, or he did it before I could. And when my sister told me that, that's what really made me go really into like my state of shock and fear, because a few months earlier, my dad's best friend, Jimmy Rose, was found in a barn miles from our town, and he had taken his own life. And so that became just like so overwhelming for me. And I remember that experience because I wasn't I was living away from home at that time when that happened. And I remember wanting to go back home, but I was living in Ottawa at the time. I was fulfilling a work term for school, and, you know, home is back in Saskatchewan, so that there was no way I could get home. And so I just remember feeling at that time, oh my goodness, like, this is something really serious. And so when my sister had told me that, I just knew something was up, right? And so I really wanted to go talk to my dad. And I walked up the stairs, and I just went around the corner, and I just stared at him while he was watching football, because I just I couldn't bring myself to say those things because they're disturbing enough or, you know, like overwhelming emotions, what those kind of things bring up for you. Mm-hmm. When you can, like, deal with them on a, just with, without having a really, you know, bad hangover and that and stuff, or just in normal situations, whatever that is, like, I couldn't bring myself to start the conversation. And so I just went about my things, just trying to ignore what all this information that I had, just hoping and praying it would just go away. Even when my mom finally came home, I wanted to ask her so many questions, and I just couldn't find the right start or the right words. And so we just basically we ate supper in silence. And after I was done cleaning up, and that I was waiting for my ride to go back to school, I saw the lights come in our living room, and I kind of had that pang of anxiousness, you know, that pit in your mm-hmm. stomach, and it was so, like, overwhelming. I knew I wanted to say something. I wanted to do something, but I just didn't know what. And so we just, you know, we formed our usual goodbye line, and my dad, I hugged him, and like I always do, I give him a big hug. Like, I always say goodbye for the week, and he always gives, he usually gives me some money or whatever, yeah. And I, like, make sure I'm eating right or whatever. But this time was a little bit different. I went to let go of my hug, and he just hugged me tighter, and mm-hmm. then he brought me in really close, and he whispered in my ear, he said, "Tracy, make me proud." Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really... Sorry.
No, okay.
So it was really, really odd for me at that time to do that. Because so in my head, I was kind of like, well, I thought I was. I just came home and, you know, gave you all this great information about, you know, I'm doing so well in school. I'm top of my class. I'm, you know, everything is great. But, it, you know, when he said that, I was just kind of like, I was just shocked and stilled. And he just patted me on the back, and then he went to let me go, and I so much just wanted to hug him again, and I didn't. And then I hugged my mom goodbye, and then my friend helped me, and we left. And I was just so overwhelmed with what was going on. Like, I didn't say a word for the two-hour drive back that it takes to get back to school. And and it was just so really hard. And the thing is, the next day my dad decided to take his own life. Mm-hmm. And that in itself left me with so much pain and so much guilt.
Yeah.
Because for the longest time I thought I was responsible, because he had was asking me to talk with him and be with him, and I was just so selfish that I wanted to be with my friends that I wasn't there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
how old was your dad when he took his own life?
He was 58.
58.
Yeah.
Was he having health issues, or?
No, there was really no health issues. What I found out afterwards, because then again, all these things started coming out after the fact,
right.
And
right.
He had been taking like some antidepressants, I believe, or was this just to help him for the last few years? Like there was some things that were going on in our family life. Our family business was closing down, and I think he was feeling a lot of pressure. I don't really know, because my mom still has trouble telling me everything that's went on, and it's been 20 years.
Do you think it was your mom's clue when she, you know, that they were keeping this, it was going on a lot longer than you ever knew, because her thought was for you guys, don't bother your father. He's got enough to worry about.
Yeah.
So did she always know that this was behind this, that there was always this, he always held things deeper, always worried more?
You know, I don't know, like, well, obviously it would have to be that way. Like, my mom knew more than she ever led us on to know. Mm-hmm. And I do know, like, I don't blame my mom. I used to blame my mom, please. I did.
Right.
I don't blame my mom anymore, because I really get the fact that when she acted, she really did things that she thought was protecting us and protecting the family and everything to try and help keep everyone at an even keel. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So my dad is stressed out at work, and he doesn't need to know about, you know, what happened at school. You know, he has all these things to do. Like, we have sports that we always are a part of, and we're always running and rushing everywhere. That was my life growing up. And so I think my mom had some idea deep down but I don't think that she ever wanted to admit
Are you the baby of the family, Tracy?
I am, yes. I have two older brothers and an older sister.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, continue with your story, because you talk about this, as time passes, you're really, and I guess the time is... When your first child is born is when you really allowed yourself to feel joy and growth, and I guess the relief from this pain and guilt that you were feeling starts working its way through. Can you tell us a little bit about that transformation that was happening for you?
Well, absolutely, yeah. Like when you were saying, yeah, I didn't allow myself to feel any joy, and so yeah, what you had mentioned there, the first time that I actually allowed myself to be happy or joyful was the birth of my first child, my daughter. And that's when things for me just kind of went, oh my goodness, Tracy, look, you have this little person now depending on you. Mm. You have to be better. It does not matter whatever happened up until this moment. Now you have to make sure that this little beautiful thing gets, like, mm-hmm. you know, everything that they need in the world, and you need mm-hmm. to be responsible for that. So I had to stop being selfish and with my own, like, self-berating and my self-talk, bad talk, and I was never worth it, and I'm not good enough, and mm-hmm. no matter what I did was never, ever anything that was an accomplishment, no matter how successful I got in my life. And so when my daughter was born, this is the first kind of like turnaround for me, where I knew I just had to be that better person, and I really started to look at my life more from the inside out, because mm-hmm. I realized at that time this was really more, it had nothing to do with anybody else. This is all about me. Mm-hmm. And we had moved, and we came to where my husband grew up, and from his hometown. And I decided to give up my career in computer programming and web design and that, and come here. You know, I realized some things are more important than a paycheck. With having that, our daughter was just like, you know, originally the plan was, since I made more money, it was going to be like Kevin was going back to work, I was going to go back to work, and my husband was going to stay home and be a stay-at-home dad, mm-hmm. Just because how it went. But once she was there, I just looked, you know, a day, and I'm like, no, there is
this
no
is
way that I am not going to be here every day of this child's life. And so then my husband and I were then, okay, well, what are we going to do? And it was quite a whirlwind how we got here, but that's another story, and I won't digress. But we moved here, and so I realized that being a stay-at-home mom is way different than being a computer or like an IT manager, you know. And so I was just like,
well, your day never ends. It, you know, a stay-at-home mom's day never ends.
Oh, my goodness. I had no clue, but what I had done because of my daughter, I really wanted to, you know, be the best I could. So what I did, what came first for me is I had this memory of this flashback of a childhood event. I was about 9 or 10, and I remember being at the lake. I was with my friend. My dad was there. And we were swimming out the lake, and there's this, at the, you know, about 50 meters from the shore, there's this big, huge wooden three-tiered tower that you go and, you know, people jump off, or they, you know, they board their canoes from there, or like their rafts and things like that. Sorry. And, you know, so we were out swimming on there, and I remember my friend and I being there and on the bottom platform, and just she's like, let's go up. And I'm like, okay. And I remember climbing to the second platform being all, you know, happy and confident, and everything was good. And then my friend just, she's like, well, let's go higher. And I just kind of looked up, and I was like, I just got this, you know, like a fear come over me, because not only when this, with this tower, if you can imagine, it's almost like a pyramid, right? So as you go up, each tier or platform got smaller. So the first platform, you could fit about, you know, four people, and then the second one, maybe two people. And, you know, and that's how it went up like that. And the, as I'm going up, because my friend is pushing, like, this top tower is so tiny, it's barely big enough for one person to stand on, let alone two, right? And so my friend, she's still pushing me up, and I'm just like, I'm like, okay, I'm so, like, kind of fearful, but yet I don't want to disappoint my friend, because, you know, and then she could bug me. You know, all these things are going through as a child, right? And I remember looking over the edge, and I see my dad in the water. And he's just there treading water at the bottom, holding onto the platform, watching me, because he's waiting for me to jump. And I was so convinced, because of the shape of the tower, because the bottom platform was way bigger than the top, that when I stepped off to jump, I would not do it properly, and I would fall straight into the bottom platform and, like, seriously hurt myself. And so it wasn't that I was scared of water, because I'm a very good swimmer. I love swimming, and it was never the water that was an issue, and how even the height, it wasn't an issue of how high we were up. It was the fact of just the shape, and I was like, how am I supposed to do this? And what was going through my head at the time is more looking down and seeing my dad looking up at me. And I remember thinking, if I do this wrong, I'm going to disappoint him. And that was more what was in the forefront of my mind rather than kind of getting hurt. So, but in my friend, she's still, go, Tracy, go, Tracy, go, you know how kids are. And I was just like, okay, so I just remember my legs are shaking and my breath got really shallow. And I remember just kind of pushing off and stepping off. And then I immediately went into this really awkward flailing of my arms and my legs. Like, my friend did describe it to me, like, I look like a cartoon character. So I was, like, flailing in the air because I thought I was trying to run away from the tower because I thought I was going to hit it. And so based on me doing that, I hit the water at such an odd angle. So my feet did go first, but my waist was bent over. So what I did is I hit pretty much the full force right on my chest. And so it knocked all the wind out of me.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I remember surfacing, and I couldn't breathe, and then I panicked, because I can swim and all this, but I know that when you're swimming, you need to breathe, right? And so I started to panic, and I kind of blacked out, because I kind of went under the water, and because I couldn't breathe, and but then the next thing I remember is just all I could hear is my dad's voice just going, like, just breathe, Tracy, just breathe, Tracy. And as he did that, he was squeezing my chest, like, so he had his knees wrapped around, like, my front and the back, and he was squeezing my chest. So basically what he was doing is getting the air working back into my body. And yeah. Even though I know he was right upset with me, he wasn't very happy with me of what I did, because he knows I'm, well, he sees me as a really good swimmer and all that, but I guess with jumping off towers wasn't my forte. But I did see, like, you know, a smile come across his face when my breathing started to come back, you know, to normal. And I was so fortunate that day that my dad decided to be there. I was so lucky, you know, that he was in there in the water with us, watching out for me. You know, he basically saved my life. So I was so fortunate about that. So that memory, why that's important for me is because mm-hmm. what that memory did for me, because I saw that and I just, it just showed me a different light of what, of a different view to view my dad, or like a different thought to have of my dad. And so it triggered me into stop, like, hiding behind my guilt that I created, because I stopped my whole life. After my dad passed, I stopped everything, and I never allowed myself to do any good or feel any good because of my feelings. And so I'm like, I can't do this anymore, because I have my daughter. She needs to have a life of love and happiness. And how can that happen if I continue on the way that I am going? And so this is where it really started for me. And so I started, looking at myself, and I started reading motivational books and mm-hmm. and things like that. Like, I started with Anthony Robbins. I'm sure everyone is familiar, and if you're not, get familiar. And John C. Maxwell, they just showed me a different way, and I got hooked into that self-help reading, and Dr. Phil helped me a lot, and it really shown me a different way to be, because I started to create a different different pattern, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Looking at my life and all that, and it was also this healing. I know it didn't happen for me overnight or anything like that. It was a process, and I remember after having that memory, I remember every time things got a little bit difficult for me and a little bit going, I would hear my dad's voice, just breathe, Tracy, just breathe. Mm-hmm. And then I would just kind of sit back, and I didn't realize at the time, but what I was doing is I was getting back to present. So I'd hear that, and then I'd bring myself back, and then I would realize that things, aren't as bad as I think they are, and I was able to view things from a different standpoint and know that I everything was going to be okay. It's just an amazing how a little bit of a shift like that can help mm-hmm. you.
That's true. Like, even Marianne Williamson says a miracle is really just a shift in perception.
Mm-hmm.
And when you describe it, it does feel like, hey, this is a miracle. Breaking the cycle, going from feeling such guilt and to choosing joy, choosing to give your daughter a good life,
Oh, I know. It's absolutely incredible. You just said, that little shift. And I use that. What really was the kind of significant kind of like cementing in there for me, which
yeah.
it was like I watched The Secret, mm-hmm. and I know there's probably a lot of people out there that are familiar with that, but what that did, it just really showed me that I really was using my thoughts to create my outward reality, even when I was choosing pain and guilt and shame and all those feelings, I was using my thoughts to create that reality that I was experiencing. So on the other hand, on the more happy, motivated end of things, that's what I started to do. Like, I really saw that my thoughts that I was having about my life and what was happening in it created just more happiness for me, which then in my outward world created more happy events for me and more mm-hmm. successful things for me to take part of. So I was really, really seeing that, having that shift of using the power of your positive thinking, that was, for me, one of the most phenomenal things, to know that I already was doing it and now I finally got how I was doing it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
And what I love about your story, Tracy, is that, yes, with the birth of your daughter, you go, okay, the light bulb went on, and, your aha moment where I needed to change. And you did the work, and you were led to do the corresponding work with it,
mm-hmm.
with all your Tony Robbins, with Dr. Phil, and then The Secret. Mm-hmm.
Times it doesn't, it doesn't matter who the people are,
right.
It's just, they're the ones that come in and you're like, you grab onto it.
They're the ones that give you the message.
Yes.
That, yes.
But you did the work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Tracy, you wrote a book, Ride the Waves, How to Take Control of Your Life, One Emotion at a Time. Is it an e-book, or where can you get the book at?
You can get my book online, where pretty much any books are like Amazon, Barnes & Noble. There is an e-book version of it.
Okay.
So, yeah, you just... anywhere really where you can buy any books online, you can get that.
And what I like about, can you tell a little bit about your book, Ride the Waves, How to Take Control of Your Life, One Emotion at a Time? Because it's not just a regular book. It's kind of, you kind of have it broken down into a certain way.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, see, my book, when I people ask me about it, my book never came out of intention. My book came out of necessity, and this is where my story from Volume 1 of Unwavering Strength comes from. It was my husband and I actually were going through a separation, and through my training, through my, you know, energy medicine training, through my communications trainings and everything, I had a lot of people coming to me and talking to me and wanting me to help them with what was going on in their life. And at the time, I didn't have anyone to talk to when all these things were going on for me. And so basically what I started to do is I started to talk to the page. And so the Ride the Waves came out of, like, a necessity for that. So I just committed to writing out. Like, I treated the page like I would talk to somebody else and help them see the good that was happening in their lives. And so when I would go back a couple days later and read what I wrote, I was just like, oh, well, no wonder, if that's the way I'm thinking, no wonder this is what I'm experiencing in my life, or, you know, oh, the aha moment there, the aha moment there, you know. So the book is a collection of 366 inspirational or motivational messages meant to be read one per day based on the calendar year. Because I committed, I had created a Facebook following, I guess, on that, and this is when I first was starting, and I missed a couple days because I was on a course, and I didn't really think anything of it, but when I got home, my inbox was flooded with all of these people saying, where's my message? I need my message.
Aww,
I need that,
that's great.
You know, that inspiration for the day, and so, like, that was my first kind of moment where I kind of went, wow, like, I'm like, there's people actually reading this, and the possibility that I can change the world one smile at a time. That's my whole thought.
That's so great.
And so that was the day that I decided, or I committed to writing one message per day.
I love it.
Yeah, and at the when it was coming, like, November time frame of that first year, and I thought, wow, I almost have a year of messages. What am I going to do with these? And then someone said, or, like, I hear this voice, you know, my God, create a book, compile it into a book.
Yes.
And so I'm like, okay, I guess I'm making a book, because, you know, and the reason why, like, Ride the Waves, why that is because through my energy medicine training, what I do with people is I take people through a guided meditation, and then after that meditation, I invite whoever it is that I'm with to draw a picture. And so, and then we interpret the picture after it's done, but then anytime anyone draws anything to do with water, it means it's about your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the term Ride the Waves came from, because we all have, they just go, you know, hand in hand, you know, the waves
right.
of the ocean, you can do that. I'm just doing that motion with my hands right now. If you saw me, you'd think
yeah.
I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I see that.
You know,
yeah.
And there, and it just goes with that, you know, like, and
yeah.
so your emotions have waves to them too. Sometimes they're up, sometimes they're down, but it doesn't matter. And no matter where you are on that wave, it's 100% perfect and 100% okay for you to feel however you're feeling. So how, it, you know, how you take control of your life at one motion at a time is one thing that I know is you can only feel one thing at one time. And so if you can look at that feeling that you're feeling and accept it, whether you're mad, sad, happy, glad, it doesn't matter. But if you can look into that and actually accept what's going on with full awareness, then you'll be able to really see where you are in that wave. And then you'll be like, oh, okay. And then you can choose to, like, in the next time something happens, either choose the same emotion if you want to, but you're going to do it with awareness, or you can choose something else to feel based on what's happening. Does
beautiful.
That make sense?
Mm-hmm. I like
yeah.
that. Yeah, Tracy.
So that's where Ride the Wave comes for. And actually, Volume 2 is coming out very shortly. Yeah.
Lovely, lovely. I hope another
year. I'm really
excited
about that, too, yeah.
Great. You know, well, I want to ask you one more question about your story. What would you tell your younger self about this journey? You know, a year after your dad had passed away, and What could you tell yourself now, back then, if that makes any sense, that could help her get through this time?
Well, I think what I would say, you know, just sit in support and, you know the and let her know that it wasn't her fault.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what, it wasn't her fault. It wasn't my fault. It took me a long time to come to terms to remove any kind of attachment to what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, going through all the things that I went through, I realized that no matter, like, I'm not a stranger to suicide now, and I've had other friends of mine, take their own life as well, and I realized that with any kind of dealings with that, a lot of people who are closest to that person, their instant reaction is to take it personally and
mm-hmm.
realize that they could have done something more. But what I want myself to know back then is, no, you could have not done anything. There's nothing you could have done. Even if I would have stayed home that night, even if I would have stayed home that week, it wouldn't have mattered, because my dad really already made his mind up. He already had made that choice.
Yeah.
And there was nothing I could do about it. And that is where it was to know that it wasn't my fault.
You bet.
Yeah.
For sure. You bet.
I want to say, Tracy, thank you so much for being on Life with the Girlfriends. And I do want to ask you one question about your work you do with animals, if that's okay with you. I know it's totally off topic. We're getting a new puppy.
Yes.
And he's
His
been
name
born.
Is Elliot.
He's been born, and but we get to pick him out of the litter. So we don't really know exactly which one he is first.
Oh, you do.
I do.
Yeah, we do.
you're so good. You're right. We kind of do.
Yes, I know you do, because I can already see it. Like, it's already, like, you're going to walk in there and those eyes, and you'll be like, there's Elliot.
I guess that's what I wanted to ask you. I guess you answered that question so perfectly.
Yeah.
and so I just wanted to say, Tracy, thank you so much for being on Life with the Girlfriends. You can find out more about Tracy at her website, Tracy Friesen, or is it Friesen?
It's Friesen, yeah.
Friesen. It's FRIESEN.com. And you can pick up her book, Ride the Wave, How to Take Control of Your Life, One Emotion at a Time.
Yeah, isn't that a great title?
It's a great title.
Yeah.
At Amazon.com. You can get a hold of her at her website. And I love your picture on your website. It shows a lot of life and fun and joy. And
yeah, you're kind of the sparkly girl, right?
Oh, my goodness. That's my nickname.
That's right.
I wear sparkles every day, and I've had the nickname Sparkly Girl for, like, years.
I love it.
15 years.
That is not a bad name to have as a nickname.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Or either Rainbow Warrior or Sparkly Girl. That's who I am.
Yeah, you are.
You are.
And it's been such a treasure to have you this evening. I want to thank you so much, and thank you for the work that you do.
Well, thank you. I'm so just grateful for you guys and allowing me to come on and share, and just for the work that you guys do. Oh, my goodness. Like, my heart is so overwhelmed with love. I am just so grateful for the work that you guys are doing as well. So thank you.
Thank you
so much.
That's what we'd love to have you feel, just love.
And, Tracy, you have a great, great night. And come back anytime you want to, especially when the next book comes out.
Yes.
And we'd love to talk to you again.
Sounds awesome. Thank you so much.
Have a great night.
Thank you, Tracy.
Bye.
Wasn't
that great?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And I was going, you know, we went longer than I told her we were going to go, and I felt bad. But I'm like, on the other hand, I'm like, oh, it's just coming out so organically, and it's flowing.
Yes, it did feel very organic.
This is awesome.
Yes.
And so you can tell how much work she did.
Yeah, and you could tell as she's talking, I mean, I really felt that she was riding the wave.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, girlfriend, we're getting close to ending our show. Do you have an update on the tightrope walker in Chicago right now?
Nick Walenda has done, he's doing two walks. He already did the one. It took him like 6.5 minutes.
Okay.
He did that incline.
Yes.
And the next one, I guess before the end, he'll do the blindfold one.
Okay, so he already did one, and he successfully made it.
Yay!
Walked up the incline.
Yes.
Yes, that's awesome.
Yes.
Great. Was it scary?
And he did it for a little bit, kind of.
Okay.
You know, because they had helicopter shots.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and it was, you know, that's, that perspective is wild.
Well, and I wonder about the helicopter, you know, blowing him over.
Yeah.
You know? Now, I know that he doesn't want to wear gear to protect him from falling, but I think Chicago made him either wear something or they had a net or something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall?
I didn't see that, but I would assume so. You
At
know?
Least we hope. At least we hope. So, well, thank you for keeping us up to date.
You bet.
You know, and then it'll be funny, though, because at the end when he crosses over blindfolded,
mm-hmm.
do you think he'll take an elevator down? It'll be like anticlimactic.
Yeah.
He'll take an elevator.
Yeah, he did take an elevator down. I mean, he went to a different venue now.
Oh.
And when he got to the other side, he did take an elevator down and walk the streets and everything.
I don't know. Could he have at least, like, maybe, I don't know, do a little... what do you call it, parachute? Or
right, one of those parachute
repels. Yeah, something a little more, you know, a little more energy than just, you know, being...
Taking the elevator.
Doors open.
And, of course, there was a fight inside the elevator.
Oh, no.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh, wait a minute, that was Beyonce.
That's right.
Sorry about that. Oh, I had a flashback. So, Jill, what did Tracy say? Did she say anything about Elliot? What did she say?
She said that you already know. When you go in there, pick your dog out, mm-hmm. You already know which dog it is. And you said you already do know.
I do know.
Yes. And so I can't wait for him to come.
Yeah, so I can't wait till we get to go see him and
pick him out.
There was seven puppies born, and of the seven, two were male, which was what we're looking for.
Right.
A little guy. And she sent us a picture, which is like, she's no photographer.
No.
But it just looks like a mass.
Of dogs.
A mass of dogs.
Yeah. And they're all loving each other. I mean, they're all just like cozy
up. They're all in a big pile.
Yeah. And they're all dark brown, which is kind of cute because they'll get weak.
But there is this one that looks like he's looking at us smiling.
Yeah. And you're like, that's the one I
want. That's the one, yeah.
And he had a peepee.
He had a peepee, so he's got to be a boy.
Yes, we're assuming.
Unless he's... What do you call them if they have both? I don't know.
No, hermaphrodite.
Hermaphrodite?
I don't know if that's a dog.
I don't think so.
But yes. No, I don't think so. But, you know, we weren't told that. We'd love them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
No matter
what. Oh, yeah. Definitely we'll love them.
No matter what.
Yeah.
All right, everyone.
We'll just design a fashion line for them.
That's right. Oh, thank you for reminding me. That was one of the things I wanted to tell you.
What?
I saw a commercial for during football day, and it might have been a joke, but it was a company that was selling football jerseys for doggies. And I was like,
no.
Really? That's awesome.
No.
I know. It was awesome.
Elliot's going to have
a Bears.
A Green Bay Packer.
No, he will not.
Packer, Julie.
No, he will not.
You want to have a Bears.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I like Denver. I like my Manning.
That's right.
My Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And
he can have an assortment, like
exactly.
You said.
Exactly. Well, everyone, we've got to get going now.
Yes.
We want to say thank you for listening to Life with the Girlfriends this Sunday night. You can watch our Nick cross the tightrope as 10,000.
Nick Melinda is going to be doing it blindfolded, people. I'm going to call it. He makes it.
He makes it.
He makes it. I'm just going to call it.
Call it. I would, too. Call it now.
Yeah. See, so that's what faith is. See things as they are. No. How do you say it? See things as they are and say they aren't. Or
no.
Vice
See things
versa.
As you have faith, hope that they are.
That's right.
Faith is the thing, is the substance of
things hoped for,
but not seen.
That's right. So I'm calling it.
Calling it now.
That's right.
All right, everyone. Have a great, great night. Thank you. Bye.
And it was great.
And it was great. It was great.